Lincoln Square, Urbana. Art Mart's Deli, Grocery, and Bakery feature premium foods and ingredients for cooking and entertaining, including Newhouse chocolates from Belgium. Art Mart is pleased to support public radio.
It's 12:37. Clear skies and southerly winds were observed across central and southeast Illinois this morning. Temperatures at 10 range from 49 degrees at Peoria and Bloomington to 55 at Flora. High pressure located over the Atlantic states will remain in control today. This will allow for fair weather across the Midwest as increasingly southerly winds draw in milder air, which will continue tomorrow. Showers and isolated thunderstorms will move into Iowa, Wisconsin, and northwest parts of Missouri and Illinois Wednesday, and across the remainder of the region by tomorrow night and Thursday as a strong storm system moves into the mid-Mississippi Valley. High temperatures this afternoon, they'll range from near 50 over north-central Wisconsin to the lower to mid-70s over Missouri, central and southern Iowa, and west-central Illinois. Low temperatures overnight will range from the upper 30s in northern Indiana to the low 50s in northwestern Missouri. This afternoon around Champaign-Urbana, a high 65 degrees with sunny skies and south winds 10 to 15 miles an hour. We're expecting mostly clear skies tonight, the low 42, mostly sunny skies tomorrow with a high of 68. South winds up to 15 miles an hour, gusts up to 25. Showers are likely tomorrow night after midnight, the low 45 degrees, southeast winds up to 15. Cooler conditions Thursday, occasional showers. The high 48 degrees. Thursday evening, mostly cloudy skies with a low of 38. Friday and Friday night, partly cloudy skies. The high 55, the low 42. Saturday through Sunday, partly cloudy skies. The high 60, the low 48. Partly cloudy Sunday night with a low of 42 degrees. And for Monday, partly sunny, a chance of showers and the high 55. Right now in Danville, 59. Decatur has 58 degrees. In Rantoul, we've got 63 degrees, 61 in Mattoon. At Willard Airport, 62, 63 on Friends Plaza in Urbana.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from the Sousa Archives and Center for American Music, preserving our nation's music heritage at the University of Illinois. Now featuring new exhibits entitled A Century of Stories and Sounds from the Stage, Music, Dance, and Theater in America. More information is at sousaarchives.org.
You're listening to The Afternoon Magazine. I'm Jeff Bossert, in for Celeste Quinn. A few months ago, it appeared the redrawn boundaries in Illinois' 13th congressional district would lead to a flurry of Democrats filing petitions to run for the seat. But now it appears just one person wants the chance to presumably face incumbent Republican Tim Johnson next fall. It's Bloomington physician David Gill, who's lost to the Urbana congressman three times before. I spoke with News Gazette writer-editor Tom Kasich on whether the new district holds new hope for Democrats.
Right now, David Gill is the only option for Democrats in the 13th Congressional District. Everyone else has dropped out of the race, deciding for various reasons not to take on either David Gill or Tim Johnson in next November. So Gill, unless somebody materializes in the next month, and that would be a tall order to run a congressional campaign or to get a congressional campaign going in less than a month, Gill's the guy.
Well, will Democrats commit the funds and will enough people get behind him to wage a serious race against Tim Johnson this time?
That's the big question. Gill said that he was in D.C. last week talking to the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, and the only thing he said was that they want him to show more money. They need him to raise more money in order to appear to be a viable candidate. So they won't give him money until he raises more local money. And as of the last reporting period, he'd raised about, I think it was maybe $30,000. He had raised more than that, but he had about $30,000 on hand. So that is better than he has done in past years, but it's still nowhere near what Tim Johnson has. Congressman Johnson had more than $375,000, and he's going to bring in a lot more in the next few months. So he's got a big advantage already over David Gill.
Well, what kind of presence has Dr. Gill had in the Metro East area and some of these other regions that are now part of this redrawn district.
He's been spending a lot of time down there and building support, but so has Tim Johnson. And it's new turf for both of them, and there's a lot of votes down there. So they're kind of a tie there in terms of just the, you know, free media and free publicity that comes with campaigning at church dinners and picnics and things like that.
At the Champaign County Democrats' dinner Sunday night, Gill criticized Johnson's prior support for wars, saying he's responsible for part of the deficit as a result of those votes. Are there other reasons to believe that Gill could be successful this time around?
There were some interesting comments that I haven't been able to verify yet, that that this district, well, we know that this district has a lot of college students. There's six universities in this district, which means that there's a lot of young people who would be interested in voting here, and they're especially attuned to the war, I would think. And Gill has consistently voiced opposition to the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. And Tim Johnson has, more recently, although for a couple years now, has also been against the wars. That's an issue. Another thing that's interesting about this, and I haven't been able to check out, is that supposedly this district, the new district, voted for Barack Obama by 11 percentage points in 2008, whereas the old 15th district that Gill ran against Tim Johnson and John McCain won in 2008. So it obviously is more Democratic, and does offer David Gill the opportunity to, you know, the baseline does offer David Gill the opportunity to win in 2012.
News Gazette writer Tom Kasich about Democrat David Gill's fourth candidacy for the 13th Congressional District. Gill had faced competition as recently as last week, but former legislator Jay Hoffman dropped out of the race again to pursue his seat in the Illinois House. Three others dropped out of the race earlier this month. Naturalist Michael Fay spent part of his early career in St. Louis, going to graduate school at Washington University and working with the Missouri Botanical Gardens' Peter Rabin. Since then, Fay has worked for the Wildlife Conservation Society and National Geographic. He's probably best known for his large-scale surveys of plant and wildlife. In 1997, he set out on the Mega Transect, the survey that would take him 3,500 miles on foot across the forests of the Congo Basin in Central Africa. Fay was back in St. Louis last week for some speaking engagements. Illinois Public Radio's Veronique LaCapra talked with him about his African journey and what it did for international conservation efforts.
It was a real expedition because we were 13 people, most of them pygmies, one white man, myself. You know, we were like an epic voyage out there. Every day you have to find food for 13 people. You have to keep everyone healthy. You have to be the mother, the father, the coach, everybody for all these guys.
What did your team of local people think of you?
Well, you know, okay, this guy wants to hire us to walk across the forest for a year. Sure, we'll do it, you know. I don't think they ever quite understood exactly why we were doing it, and they certainly got depressed after 3 or 4 months out on the trail. So I had to switch teams about halfway through because those guys were just burned out, basically. At one point, we were in this very small village on a footpath that we were crossing, and I told these guys, do not drink the water, do not drink the water, because there's hepatitis in this village. And sure enough, one of the pygmies gets hepatitis like probably 2 or 3 weeks later. And the first reaction of those guys to something like that is to scarify them with razor blades and bleed them, you know, to get the bad blood out. And so here we've got this highly infectious guy who all of a sudden everybody's touching his blood. And I just had these nightmares of the whole crew getting hepatitis. And we had to carry that guy for about 7 days to get him to a river where we could actually get a dugout canoe to get him out. But he lived. It was hard, but we didn't lose a single person. And, you know, it was an expedition of a lifetime for sure.
Was it all worth it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I always look at these things as what do we get for real on the ground rather than, you know, publicity or education or something like that? I always say, okay, did we get a protected area? Did we change policy? Did we do something tangible? And in this case, we got 13 national parks in Gabon, totaling over 10 million acres. And those parks are still very much protected and real. And logging, just like I thought, has completely surrounded every single one of those parks in the interim. So if we didn't do it when we did it, none of that forest would have been saved from logging.
And it's logging for hardwoods or?
Yeah, all that wood is cut for export market, and it goes primarily to Asia, Europe, and the United States.
In case people can't tell from the background sounds, I'm speaking with you outdoors on the grounds of the Missouri Botanical Garden, where you camped out overnight. Why did you do that instead of staying in a hotel?
Well, because hotels give me the eebie-jeebies. You know, after the mega transect, I rented an apartment in Washington, D.C. because I was going to write up my, you know, work there. And I hadn't been, obviously, in a bed for a year and a half. And I spent one night in this apartment, and I immediately just fled, you know, and I went to Rock Creek Park, which is the big national park in the middle of Washington, D.C., and it was like, oh my God, you know, this is perfect. This is beautiful. I can sleep outside. The birds are here. There's deer. There's trees. You know, it's forest cover, and I thought, you know, why would I ever want to live inside?
That was naturalist Mike Fay speaking with Illinois Public Radio's Veronique LaCampra.
WILL programs are made possible by the Doudna Fine Arts Center at Eastern Illinois University, presenting The Blind Boys of Alabama with guests Sarah Ann Sean Watkins of Nickel Creek this Sunday at 4 p.m. at the Dvorak Concert Hall in the Doudna Fine Arts Center. Information is available at 217-581-3110.
The Roman Catholic Church is putting its money behind adult stem cell research. Some scientists here see that as a way to choke off the use of embryonic stem cells.
And patients in this country won't take any comfort from the idea that people are trying to close off avenues of research that could potentially help them.
The Vatican's investment in the future of stem cell technology today on All Things Considered from NPR News.
Today from 4 to 7 on AM 580 and from 5 to 7 on FM 90.9.
Support comes from the Prairie Ensemble, who open their season on Sunday, November 6th at 7 p.m. at McKinley Presbyterian Church in Champaign. The program, called East Meets West, features Tan Dun's Concerto for Pipa and Strings with music by Haydn, Respighi, and Prokofiev. Details are at 355-9077 or prairieensemble.org.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Tuesday. It's the first